Lighthouse Church presents the following message by Kenny Thacker.
Okay, so last week, it's my understanding that we sort of kicked off a series of teachings through the parables of Jesus. That's an exciting time. It'll be a rich time for sure as you walk through those parables. I'm looking forward to being in on that myself as much as possible. And so today, I'm just going to fit into that series, even though it was like short notice, right? So it's okay. The Lord can speak on short notice. Somebody say amen. All right. So today, we're going to be talking about the treasure and the pearl. The treasure and the pearl. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. Now, while you're turning there, and I want you to turn there, I want just to offer you a sort of a preparatory word, if you will, concerning parables, because we're going to be in parables for a season, and there's some things that you need to understand about parables. First off, and that is, you should not treat a parable like a proverb. Okay, you shouldn't treat a parable like a proverb. Proverbs are wonderful. Proverbs are pieces of wisdom, like sage advice and counsel that are intended to instruct you on how to conduct yourself in your daily affairs, conduct yourself in your relationships at work and at home and all of that kind of stuff, and just life in general, how to behave and how to think, and that's what proverbs are intended for, are given to us for. But parables are not really the same thing at all. They're not the same thing as a proverb, because parables are not primarily intended to make you know something as much as they're intended to make you see something. Now, I want you to think about that. Seeing is as much or more so vital to a Christian as knowing. I want your brain to think about that for a minute. Tell your brain to think about that. Actually, that's one of the major reasons that I chose this particular parable this morning, because it deals with this so well. So fight back familiarity as much as you can when we read through this little short passage, the three verses. And so fight back familiarity, because that can be problematic there. So I just want you to resist saying in your head when I start reading this passage, "Oh yeah, I've read that a million times. I know what that's saying." You with me? Well, how do I know? Say amen or something like that. Okay. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to do what He does so well, and that is to open the eyes of our heart to see. You know, interesting that the Scripture talks about eyes of our heart as well as ears. So eyes of our heart to see. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to show us this morning, to open our eyes to see what it is that the Lord is desirous of showing us together. You with me? Okay, let's pray. Father, we do pray, as Paul prayed, that You would open the eyes of our heart. We stand here, Lord, at the entrance of new things, especially and particularly this body, our family. We stand at the entrance of a new season in our church, a new entrance of the new year, and we want newness in our lives. So, Lord, I'm asking this morning on behalf of all of us that You would renew our faith, renew our passion, our compassion, our energy. Lord, let the Holy Spirit illumine our heart and mind and soul and spirit as we open Your word together this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Okay, if you have located Matthew 13, be turning there. find it. Let's read these verses together, starting at verse 44. You there? Okay. The kingdom of heaven, these are the words of Jesus, that's important. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. There are some particular words in this short passage here that I think are keys for us as we listen this morning. And I'm going to try to pull out a few of those to focus on as we go along. First of all, I want you to notice what Jesus is talking about. He tells us right up front, and then halfway through these little three verses, he tells us twice what he's talking about. He's telling us his subject that he is highlighting. It's revealed right there as he says, the kingdom of God is like. And then again, he says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. Have you ever thought about what is the kingdom of God? I mean, what's he talking about? What is the kingdom of God? What is it actually? See, it's not heaven. He's not talking about the place heaven is, even though there is such a place, and we want to be there, right? I mean, that is the goal, right? We forget that sometimes, but heaven is not what he's talking about here. Although heaven is greatly affected by the kingdom of God, actually heaven is governed by the kingdom of God. Here's why I'm asking you to think a little bit about what is the kingdom of God. The reason it's important to understand that is because it's supposed to be the primary thing in life we are in pursuit of. Officially, it's supposed to be the primary thing in life that we are seeking, that we are pursuing. I mean, Jesus said so himself when talking about the important things of life earlier in this same book, earlier in the book of Matthew. Jesus said, therefore, don't be anxious. How are you doing with that one? Well, yeah, but the answer to not being anxious is not knowing something as much as it is seeing something. Let me tell you something. If somehow the portals of heaven, the curtains of heaven were just opened just for a split second this morning, and you were able to see behind that curtain, and you were able to see Jesus in his glory and in his splendor, let me tell you something. You would never worry about another thing again the rest of your life on earth. You'd never be anxious another single morning if you could really see. Okay, don't shout me down. So Jesus said, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Where will we live? We're consumed mostly with those things. Okay. Don't be anxious, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Where will we live? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. He's well aware. It's not that those things aren't important. They're just not primary. He knows that you need them all. And then Jesus said, but seek what? First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these other things will just be added to you. As many of you know, Miss Lynn enjoys sewing. and is really good at it. Matter of fact, she just told me yesterday that she was wanting to go to the sewing store this week. I honestly don't understand how anybody could be excited about that. Just between me and you, I think there's a section of hell that looks just like the sewing store. It's just a theory. I don't have proof, but on one occasion, when me trying to be a good husband, I accompanied her to the sewing store, and I followed her around for a little bit, and then when I saw it was going to be a while, to be there, there's a lot of stuff to look at in there. I went over and I hopped up and sat down on that table where they cut the fabric. And I was sitting there and I was just watching her, maneuver around through there. And I had this great idea. I thought, hey, if I help her find what she's looking for, we can get out of here. So I got up from my little perch there and I said, hey, Lynn, what are you looking for? And she answered me, invisible zippers. So I said, well, how are you going to know if you find them? Like, you okay? You feeling all right, babe? And about that time, the smock lady came and asked if I needed any help. And I said, you have no idea how much help we need. We're looking for invisible zippers. And she said, they're right over here. I was like, oh no, two of them. So anyway, so she took us right over to them and we found them. Now here's what struck me at that moment inside the sewing shop. I had no idea what an invisible zipper was, and yet I was looking for it. I was trying to find something, and I didn't even know what it was. And on that spot, I mean, these words of Jesus filled my heart. How can you look for the kingdom? How can you seek the kingdom? How can you pursue something when you don't know what it looks like? When you don't know what it is? And that is the primary importance of this parable today. So I want you to think about the kingdom of God, if you will, as sort of God's operating system. I know nothing about the IT world. I know nothing about computers. I work with them every day of my life, and I know embarrassingly little about them. Right? I don't want to know more than I know about it. And that's maybe a whole other thing, but I'm glad there are people who do. I love those people, and I need those people in my life. Amen, Jeffro? Amen. That's right. So, all of those things have operating systems. They're just the way that everything works together to do what it does, and that's sort of the how to think about the kingdom of God, God's operating system, God's economy, if you will, is another way to think about what the kingdom of God is, to pursue God's economy, to pursue God's way of doing things, to pursue God's operating system, and let that work in and through your life. And Jesus said, that's first. That's first. That's not just a preacher telling you that. That's the best preacher telling you that, Jesus. Okay. So seeing that, seeing God's economy, seeing God's operating system, seeing God's kingdom is a treasure. It's a treasure. God's way, God's economy, it's a treasure. But here's the first word that I want to pull out of there. How many of you agree with me that that's a treasure? It's a treasure that is hidden. It's a treasure that is hidden. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. In another place in this same book, in the book of Matthew, Jesus was referring to some unrepentant cities who really wouldn't sit still and pay attention and tolerate him talking about the kingdom of God, because he was proclaiming God's way. He was proclaiming God's economy. He was proclaiming God's operating system there in these cities, and they weren't having anything to do with it. And so Jesus, he was talking, having a conversation with the Father about that. When he said this, he said, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and have revealed them to babies. Let's think just for a minute there about the implications of that. Seeing the kingdom of God, seeing God's way, seeing God's economy, seeing God's way of doing things requires revelation. It requires revelation from God. This is what that means. That means that the most brilliant people in the world with the sharpest theological mind or engineering mind that you could ever imagine cannot decipher or explain the kingdom of God. It takes a simplistic, childlike approach to even see it. You can't, with your wisdom, with man's wisdom, as much as that as you have, study it enough to understand it without God causing you to see. This is amazing. It's hidden. And when God hides something, you ain't finding it. You can look your whole life. You can apply every ounce of human wisdom that there is, and you won't even see it. You won't even get close. That's why you don't approach it that way. You approach it as a child. Let me ask you a question. What if to see it, you with me? You got that? What if to see it, you have to be looking? What if to see it, you have to be looking? This is my first of the year, new start, encouragement to you to become a reader of the Word. We live at a time in history when the church in our current culture is amazingly biblically illiterate. Become a reader of the Word. Not because God will like you better if you do. He won't. Not because you'll get some points. You won't. That's not the way it works. But because if you are going to live the best life possible on this earth, your primary pursuit must be seeking the kingdom of God first, and you are not going to see the kingdom of God ever if you're more preoccupied with Fox News TV or the Wall Street Journal or Pinterest or Facebook. What if to see it, you got to be looking? Don't miss that the man who found the treasure was out looking in the field. And when he saw it, when it was revealed to him, when it presented itself to him, three things happened in rapid fire order. Three things happened. First, when he saw it, he was absolutely, totally overcome with joy. Overcome with joy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being overcome with joy? It actually reminds me makes me think of when Jesus first appeared to the disciples after the resurrection. He just appeared in the room and they were all startled, just like me and you would be startled if he appeared in here this morning. We wouldn't say, "Oh, hi, Jesus." No, we'd all be on the floor, right? Startled is a mild word. So they were startled because they thought he was a ghost. Like, what in the world's going on? And he said, "Hey, it's me." And then he showed them his hands and his feet, showed them the scars that were there that made it through his new body. He said, "It's me." And I love this phrase. And the Bible says when he revealed himself to them, that when they saw who it was, that it was really Jesus. I love this phrase. It said, they disbelieved for joy. They disbelieved for joy. Has that ever happened to you? Has something so good ever happened for you? Something too good to be true? Something so fantastic? Something so amazing? Something that was just so incredible that it was just too good to be true? There's no way possible for it to be true. Has that ever happened to you? Like Bev saying yes, Coach, to marry you. Like something like that. Just too incredible to make sense. And you're caught in that moment going, oh, disbelieving for joy. That's such a great phrase. Well, that's the first thing that happened to the man in the field. He was overcome with joy. Listen, there's a lot of stuff I could say about that, but I truly hope that your personal version of Christianity can be described like that. If your Jesus is somber and sad and judgmental and hateful and all that, keep him to yourself. The first mark of seeing and knowing Jesus is joy. Absolute, utter, total joy. Joy. So first, when he saw it, he disbelieved for joy. Secondly, he immediately hid it again somewhere else. He moved it, buried it somewhere else. Now think through that. He felt compelled to conceal it until he was absolutely sure that it belonged to him. You cannot live out of a supply that you don't own, that's not yours. Are you with me? I think we see this beautifully illustrated in Paul's life when he stumbled over the treasure on Damascus Road, when he saw Jesus. That story tells us that he didn't immediately start dispensing this great truth that Paul is known for as writing most of the New Testament. No, he went away to the desert to let this do a deep work in his own heart. He went away to the desert to own it. He went away to the desert to let it do its work in him first before he started applying it to anybody else. Now, Christ does a deep personal work in each one of our hearts. He absolutely does. But let me quickly add behind that, that however personal his work is inside of us, it's never supposed to be private. No, we were made to exist and thrive in community. Okay. And thirdly, he went and sold everything he had to buy that field. Not to buy the treasure, to buy the field. Now, let me add here that there was not a moment's hesitation in that decision. He didn't sit down on a stump there in the field and think, okay, now, how bad do I want this? It was an immediate decision. There was no question needed. There was no calculating, there was no counting the cost required whatsoever. With joy, he was willing to give everything he had to get that field. And I really think for sure there's something here that Jesus wants us to see. To see. It was quite evident, think with me, it was quite evident that that treasure was so stunning, so amazing, that it was immediately recognized as something worth selling everything and anything you have in order to possess it. Remember, Jesus has said, the kingdom is like this. The kingdom is like this. Understand that once he sold all that he had to buy the field, he had nothing left to barter with. All he had now was the field. That means that everything from that point on that he needed to sustain his life had to come out of that field. We were talking about this one time to a six-year-old. His question was, did he sell his shovel too? And I said, yep. Sold everything he had. He had nothing and nowhere else. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. I believe Jesus wants us to see the kingdom this way as well. Too many of us are willing only to make a speculatory investment in the kingdom. If it does well, I'll invest a bit more. Kind of depends on my return. That's our world. That's not God's world. God did not make an investment in you depending on what he thought you might perform in the future. Thank God. Okay. I hope you can see that's not the way it's supposed to work. It doesn't work that way. When you see it, when your eyes are open to it, and with childlike, simplistic faith and trust, you see it, it becomes the joyful priority of your life. We don't have time for the pearl. But it's a similar story anyway. The difference being the guy in the second little story there knew what he was looking for. He knew exactly what he was looking for. Pearls. He was a pearl merchant, and he was looking for pearls. He just didn't expect to find the pearl of all pearls. That's where the surprise came in for him. I want you to listen to me, y'all. Listen to me. Every person in this world is looking for a pearl. Every person taking a breath on this earth today is looking for a pearl. They're shopping. They're looking for a pearl that's going to bring them satisfaction and peace and fulfillment. And they think that they can be content in just swapping pearls in a way of just keep trading up for better and better pearls until they get to this place where they find the peace and the security and the fulfillment and the joy and all that kind of stuff that they're looking for. But there's that one pearl of all pearls that's there. And we have an opportunity of showing them that pearl. Look what I found. To put an end to my pearl searching days. I wish we had time to talk about this parable. Let's not fail to see that Jesus could be telling his own story in this parable. What if God saw a treasure that had been buried by sin and condemnation and separation, and he so loved that treasure that he was willing to sacrifice his treasure in order to buy that whole field? Enter the gospel. What if Jesus himself is the treasure that was hidden in the field of humanity only to be discovered and buried again, but then to remain on as the ultimate source of life? I wish we had time to look at this parable. Three sentences. Can you see that this is more about seeing something than knowing something? We will never fully plumb the depths of the Word of God. He is so far past our understanding. Maybe, that's why childlike wonderment is the best way to approach him. We took our kids to Disney World when they were little. God help us all. There were two responses when we pulled up in the parking lot. I looked up and I saw the lines and I saw the price. Not just to get in, but once you got in, paying $14 for a hot dog that you were going to lose 2 hours later when you got on one of those rides. I looked at that, the happiest place on earth. I looked at that, and my initial response was, how are we going to pay that? How am I going to stand in that line? How am I going to find this money? How? My kids saw it when we pulled up. Their response wasn't how. Their response was, wow. Well, that costs a lot of money. Pay it! Oh, man, do whatever you have to do to get us in there. That's the approach to the kingdom. Are you a hower or a wower? Be a wower. Here's how you become a wower. You have to be looking. And if you're looking, you'll see something. And when you see it, you'll go, wow. And it'll change everything in your life. Let's pray.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message. For more information, visit our website at lighthousentx.com.